Hey guys, this is Scott here. Before we get started with what's going to be one barn burner of an episode of the Chick Whisperer podcast, I want to let you in on something fun and exciting that we just started doing. For the first time in 7 years, Emily and I are producing an all-new podcast. This time it's devoted to adventure travel and going out and living the lifestyle that we all know attracts women. It's called Wing It Worldwide, and you can find it in the Society and Culture section under Places and Travel. Grab a listen to it, because Emily and I have a lot of fun doing it. It's pretty raw. It's pretty wide open. But what we do is we give straight up rants on places that we visited all over the world. And we'll let you in on some things that you're not going to find on any of the other travel shows or travel blogs. Kind of off the beaten track information that's a lot of fun to listen to and kind of gives you an idea of what the adventure is like once you get there. So once again, that's the Wing It Worldwide podcast. And you can also visit wingitworldwide.com for more information. And we have a whole show notes page there. Lots of pictures, lots of blog posts, and we sure hope you guys enjoy. Once you listen and once you take a look, go ahead and write me at scott@thechickwhisperer.com and let me know what you think. And now, let's get on with the big show. Here we go.
You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hey everyone, this is Scott McKay. Welcome again to another episode of the Chick Whisperer podcast. Today, I've got a guest with me. Her name is Shayna James. She's from California. She's a dating and sex coach, and she's the one who runs the Men's Sexual Satisfaction Summit, which I was happy to be a part of. Shayna, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Today's subject, I think, is a worthy one. It's one that a lot of guys wonder about, for better or worse. And it's one that I am particularly pleased to not have another dude to discuss it with, because the topic of the day, the topic du jour, if you will, is do women really like sex? And of course, if it were just two guys sitting here talking about this, it'd be a bunch of conjecture, which is what we've got too much of already. Because when guys sit around and start thinking about this, if a guy's not doing well with women, and he's seeing what he perceives to be a lot of rejection from women based purely on sex, I think the first knee-jerk reaction from guys who aren't succeeding with women is to say, you know, these bitches don't like sex. These women don't even want to get laid. These women are trying to do everything in their power to get away from sex. Some guys even go so far as to cite women who say, look, you know, sex is no fun for women. It's just to help guys get off. It's a favor that wives do, spreading their legs for guys because they feel like they have to out of obligation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So having a woman like you on to give a first person account of what's really going on in women's minds relative to sex, I think is just priceless. So I'm ready to jump in. You got any thoughts about what I just said before we get going about how guys kind of tend to perceive things otherwise sometimes?
So many, I don't even know where to begin, but, yeah, my first thought is, you know, I've been coaching for over a decade, both men and women, and, you know, I've coached 1,000 men, almost as many women. And so I've gotten to see, you know, how men and women both respond to dating and sex and love. And I never want to say all women or all men. I don't think that's fair. But I will say the women I've interacted with over the years love sex, want sex. And there is a way that women open differently, our bodies open differently, it seems, than men do. So this is a really interesting topic.
Yeah, I think so too. So Shayna, how do you think guys arrive at this conclusion that women don't like sex?
Great question. I think guys arrive at this conclusion because women tend to hold sex as a little more, I don't know, I want to use the word sacred, or a little more, women have a little more resistance to leading with sex up front. There are women who do lead with it, and sometimes it comes from a place of wholeness. And sometimes it comes from a place of wounding, of thinking, oh, I need to show that I'm a sexual woman, otherwise I'm not going to be wanted, you know? But in general, what I see is that women are waiting to feel a level of trust in a man or safety with a man or an ability to relax with a man before they're going to actually open up that sexual channel. And so there's a way that men can, at first glance or first pass, then think, oh, women are not interested in sex, or it's not as exciting for them. But it's not true.
Yeah, you know, I think there are a lot of guys out there listening to this who heard you say, yeah, some women lead with sex, and they're going, where are all those women? I don't think I've ever met one in my entire life. Which leads me to believe, you know, if there are women out there who are leading with sex, and there are guys out there who are saying to themselves, you know, I don't even see the need for this podcast. Every woman I've ever met has just been a horny little vixen. It kind of leaves the rest of some of these guys in the dust going, well, you know, either all those guys are lying in the locker room, or my reality is just different or something. But I don't hear a lot of guys saying, hey, you know what? Maybe I should look in the mirror. Maybe if I think women don't like sex, it could be because I'm not doing those things you just talked about. And Shayna, the things like making a woman feel trusted, making her feel safe and comfortable in his presence, like I talk about all the time, is one of the big four, right?
Yep.
What would you say to a guy who's arrived at this conclusion that women don't like sex? What's the mindset shift that he needs? Or maybe where's the best place to start so that he can hopefully start seeing some more women who like sex more often?
I think the mindset shift, first of all, is to recognize that, again, I'm not going to say all, but many women really like and desire sex, and that they're kind of testing to see if they're safe. You know, women have a different experience in the world than men do, and it's not that men haven't been raped or been harmed by women. It happens the other way around too, but it happens a lot more to women. And so rather than coming from the perspective of resenting a woman for this and actually having compassion for this, then you can start to relax in a way to get curious with her, right? And you can start to see, oh, if I'm going to bring a kind of care and compassion connected also with my own power and strength or my balls, you know, like my sexuality, things are going to start to shift. But if you're only going for sex and you're thinking, I need to rev up my sexuality, you know, to have her respond, but you're not getting that there's a heart piece as well and a care piece as well and a shared humanity piece as well, then things are going to not be working for you.
Well, fair enough. I also think some guys, however, let that pendulum swing all the way to the other side and go, all right, well, you know, if women are broken because of sex and they've all been raped and they're all angry about it, you know, and they've been watching these videos where women are like, hey, look, if you even look at me on the street, that's the gateway drug to rape and you're already a predator. Guys are starting to think those women, those angry women on those videos represent the entire feminine gender, which is not true.
No.
But like I said, guys are letting this pendulum swing all the way to the other side. And they're going, hey, look, I have to assume all these women are angry, that all of them are very afraid of sex. All of them have been raped. All of them have been injured by a man. So what they do is they go completely neuter on y'all.
Right.
And they get on dates and they're like, so how's the weather? Is your dessert good? You know, and next thing you know, they land in the just be friend zone.
Totally.
And they're like, okay, look, I tried being a horn dog and talking about sex and trying to drop innuendos and saying blow me instead of below me and all these crazy things that the POAs talk about. That didn't do anything but get a drink in my face and get me slapped.
Yep.
So, okay, I did the opposite. Let's not talk about sex at all. Let's just hang back and, I don't know, talk about that Spurs-Warriors game the other night, which I particularly wouldn't want to talk about, but I digress. You get a kick out of that coming from the Bay Area, I'm sure. But what's a man to do? What does this safe zone look like, Shayna? And how do I lead a woman into this zone when I don't even know what the hell I'm aiming for?
Yeah. I love what you're saying because it is that middle ground. It's not one or the other. It's not swinging from I'm a total horn dog and all I care about is sex to I'm just going to bring my heart without any of my sex. There's a place in the middle where you can bring both. And I had this incredible insight that I, as a woman, tend to be much more of a responder. And I think this is very much cultivated in our culture for women. There's a way that we as women have been taught to respond or to be nice or to care for others before ourselves. And so one of the things I started to see is that I was completely holding back my desire because I was waiting first to see, does he want it? You know, is he choosing me? Is he attracted to me? Even though there were some signs that said yes, there was still, and I've been doing my own work, you know, personal work for 20 years, there was still this part in me that doubted it and that felt scared to show my sexuality. And so I really got to see that even though it would seem that you're making a woman feel safe, you may have to go above and beyond what you think. But what you're saying, Scott, is awesome because it doesn't mean you're taking sex out of the picture. So what happened for me with this man was, you know, I got a little bit vulnerable of admitting that I felt a little bit scared, you know, to show him my desire. And he proceeded to basically, with so much care for me and also so much of his own power and sexuality, he was like, I want it. I want all of you. I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to, you know, it's hot when you bring your desires to me. He basically just appreciated and affirmed those parts of me that were feeling vulnerable and scared. And he did it in a way that was also so strong and so clear and so grounded. So I'm really having this, it's kind of this unraveling epiphany in a way of how much we as women can tend to need, and you guys too, I mean, you know, in different ways, but a kind of approval that it's okay because we've been trained, you know, don't be too much of a slut. You're going to get whatever, you're going to get booted out of the popular group. We're all still like 13-year-olds inside, right? Even though we're
men too.
Yeah, exactly. Even though we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 20s, whatever it is, we're still operating from those really young parts.
What I really appreciate about what you said is you sound like a guy talking at the beginning there.
Mm.
It's like I'm sitting across the table and I don't know, does she want me? Am I supposed to be a little vulnerable here? What if I say the wrong thing? I don't want to mess this up. Does this woman even know what I'm thinking, what I want?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know what she wants? You sounded like a guy talking. And the beauty of that is I think most guys think we're alone as a gender thinking that way on dates.
Yeah.
So to hear a woman admit that that's what's going on the other side of the table kind of underscores and reinforces something that I've taught a lot, which is, hey, you know, if you get outside of your own head and start looking at that woman across the table from you on a date, you may find she's nervous.
Yes.
You may find she's trying not to mess up.
Yep.
But so many guys go on dates in defense mode, like, oh my God, don't mess up. Don't screw up. Try to make her impressed with me.
Yes.
Instead of thinking, am I really impressed with this woman?
Yes.
What is she like? Do I want her?
Yeah.
Is she nervous? Does she perhaps want me more than I want her already?
Yeah.
And guys just refuse to think that way because in a way it feels too good to be true unless you've had a lot of experience with women you're attracted to. So once you get on a date with someone you actually find attractive, you're thinking don't mess up instead of how can I serve, provide, protect, lead.
God,
this woman in front of me.
That is hot to hear you say that. How can I serve, protect, guide, lead? Yes. And again, from seeing both sides of the fence, we are all like scared little puppies. You know, it's funny for me to hear you say that in what I said, I sounded like a man because all of the women I've coached sound like that too. So really what that's shown me over the years is there is this kind of shared humanity. You know, we're all nervous on the inside at some point or another. We all feel awkward, like, you know, awkward, gangly teenagers. We're all stressed out and want to impress and, you know, want to be wanted. It's all happening. And then so often we're all trying to hide it. And then we compare our insides with someone else's outsides, right? Because you can't see usually. Right. She can't tell that you're that nervous. He can't tell that she's that nervous. I mean, and again, I've been coaching people and doing my own work for 20 years. So it's constantly happening. And it's really powerful to be able to remind yourself of that and remember that.
Well, first of all, what you're saying is a revelation to men everywhere. And you guys can go to the show notes page and take a look at what Shayna looks like. She's a beautiful, sexy woman. So this isn't coming from a woman who was dateless and desperate, first of all. So let's clear that out.
Thank you.
Now, second of all, far be it from me to ever accuse you of sounding like a man.
Yeah.
So you can put that baby to bed already. But I know what you're getting at. Okay. Men are listening to this podcast thinking, my goodness, that's what we say.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, women are not too far off. Matter of fact, they're exactly like us. We're all mammals. We're all humans. All of us go on dates with these jitters and all of us want to be liked. All of us want to like, we want to go on a date and we want to be attracted to the person across from us.
Yep.
Sometimes guys have a hard time understanding that, that women, when they're out on a date with a guy, they're there because they're hoping it goes well.
Yes.
They're not hoping to reject the guy.
No.
For every guy who's put in the just be friend zone on a date, there is a disappointed woman.
Serious. Yes. Serious disappointment. Serious disappointment. They're wanting it to go really well. They're wanting it to be hot. They're wanting to have that love and romance and connection, or, you know, maybe love's too soon, but that romance and that connection and that heat and that spark.
You bet. And,
but there's been this part of me that has felt like I'm going to look like that slutty girl who everybody abandoned. She was the one who everybody laughed at and everybody avoided and everybody shunned. And so that's still there. And so again, even if you do think you're taking great care to let women know that their sexuality is okay, there's still that shy young girl in many of us. That's my lesson, right? Is no more beating around the bush. But women, I'm just going to keep using it, right? We women beat around the bush because there's this fear again. And so I really, going back to what you were saying, you know, it's not about just sex. It's not about just heart. When I work with men, I really work to turn on or turn up the volume, you know, to 100% on both their heart and their sex, because that's the ultimate turn on for women. When a woman feels safe and trusting with you, and through your being awakened and alive in your body, she actually feels alive and turned on in her body, there is nothing better than that.
I'm guessing there are a lot of guys listening to this show saying to themselves, good grief, if they say safe and trust one more time.
One more time. Right.
I'm going to throw this iPod out the window like I just heard the new Adele song for the 100,000th time, you know? If I do hear that Adele song one more time, I will throw my iPod out the window. You talked in detail about this guy you went out on a date with and how he did such a great job of the safe and trust thing and getting this middle ground, getting this thing dialed in perfect.
Yeah.
From what you just said about your journey through post-divorce and dating a bunch of guys, it doesn't sound like a lot of guys were getting that right. So this is rather rare. And I think this is the golden nugget, the holy grail of this conversation to get right. Okay. So let's do this.
Yep.
To kick this conversation off, this portion of our conversation, if you will, you talked about being a little vulnerable yourself and saying, hey, you know, I have a little confession to make. I like you and I would love to be able to express myself a little more passionately to you, but I just don't feel safe. I think if every woman did that, so many guys would have it so much easier.
Yes.
Be like, oh, well, all right. Hey, cool. Now I know she's into me. Now I can open up and stop feeling like, oh my gosh, this is really going to hurt. Now they can let that go and relax and say, hey, cool. I've sort of hit the jackpot. She likes me. Now I can just relax and move on. But that almost never happens for the reasons that you talked about at the outset of this episode. Look, women don't want to look slutty. They don't want to seem forward.
Yep.
That's just not in the nature of women in nearly every culture, by the way. That's consistent. So this is just not going to happen, Shayna. Women aren't going to get in front of guys and go, hey, you know what? I got a little cute confession. I'm kind of horny for you.
Right.
You know, it happens. But see, I also know for a fact it happens because of men making a woman feel safe.
Yes.
Making a woman feel secure and showing a little bit of that masculinity with some care trailing behind it or actually leading in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, voila, here comes what seems like a cold hint from a woman, but it's not a cold hint at all.
Yep.
So sitting here waiting for Godot in the form of a woman giving me this golden hint on a silver platter, we really have to do something to
right.
even foment that happening back
yes.
at us.
Yes.
That doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Yep.
So perhaps if we took this discussion from a perspective of, okay, guys, what do we do to make that happen?
Yes.
Where exactly. is this little starting point? How do we cast this line out there? And perhaps that's all we would need, because if we can get the woman to open up and show a little flirty side,
mm-hmm.
then I think we would be good. I don't
yeah.
know why this popped into my mind, okay? But there was a commercial on MTV probably 25 years ago. Before people really talked openly about sex on TV, you know, for better or worse, MTV was kind of a pioneer in that. And there was a man and a woman, and he was at her house picking her up for a date or something. And he was looking at her stereo or her record collection and saying, what kind of music do you like? She goes, well, I like Patsy Cline and I like jazz. And he's like, oh, that's really good. But she goes, but when I'm really horny and want to have sex, I listen to rap.
Huh.
And he gets a big smile on his face, and that's the end of the commercial.
Hmm.
And I don't know why I never forgot that commercial. But I think now I'm recognizing it's because that would be such an awesome thing to have happen.
Right.
And right. it almost never happens. And it would be so horny and so sexually charged. And it's this little hint that you just know, unless you're brain dead, she wouldn't say that to me
right.
unless that's what was on her mind.
Right.
So how do we send the signal to a woman, hey, you know what?
Yes.
I'm enjoying your company and I kind of find you sexually attractive. And it's okay if we get into that mode with each other, but yeah. don't worry. I yeah. actually like you as a human being too.
Yeah. Okay.
Boy, that almost sounded really good in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah. awesome. And I
it's
love
a little forward.
a little forward.
You take a shot at it. You yeah. give me your examples.
So, okay. One of the things that happens is that everybody's kind of holding back. It's like poker, right? We're holding our cards close to ourselves. And
there you go poking again.
There I go poking again. And so what I've seen and what I've guided men to do over the past decade is to show their cards a little bit, because a lot of men have been taught that showing interest is weak or, you know, gives women the upper hand. It's not true. There's a lot of how you say it versus what you say.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And so there's a way that you can fall out of yourself and kind of lose yourself and be like, oh God, I really like you. And, you know, and that, which is not what we're going for here.
Right.
And there's a way that you can sit back in your strength and in your turn on and be a little bit of that tease, but with your heart and appreciate and just be like, damn, you are amazing or you are sexy or wow, I feel blown away by you. It's not about the specific words, but that energy of being in your back body or in your lower body and feeling fully lit up and turned on, which a lot of men I've worked with turn off that turn on because they think, well, I shouldn't feel it because it might make her uncomfortable. I say, feel it to the fullest. Then you have choice about what you do with it. But feel it so fully that she can't even help but be turned on in your presence, because we are like tuning forks, right? We resonate with each other. So first, feel fully that turn on, that aliveness, if you have that for her. And then it's kind of like you're putting it out there, but from such a place of groundedness and, you know, you're not attached in a way. Of course, you want her to respond and be lit up by it. But there's also a way that when you don't think it makes you look weak or foolish, that you can give it to her as a gift, and whatever happens, happens, but she's going to be more likely to be lit up by that, right? If you're trying to prove that you are a hot and worthy man by getting her response to your turn on. She's going to feel that hook and she's going to feel something strange and she's not going to trust you, right? But when you know in yourself that your turn on is right and good, and again, you have choice about what you do with it, but you get to feel it and light yourself up and feel the pleasure to the utmost, then there's no apology and there's nothing that's wrong about what you're doing.
What I hear you getting at is this is a lot more about the vibe you create than the words you say.
Yes.
You were talking about how you can say the same thing and have it come off two completely different ways. For example, oh my God, you are so hot. You are so sexy. And you know, and you kind of surround that with nervousness. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you know, I know I'm bothering you. And then it comes off as, I know you're too good for me. And I'm putting you on a pedestal and you're just out of my league. And you sound like Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live, right?
Yep. Yep.
That's the bad vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But consider just the phrase, you are so sexy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it like Chris Farley. Oh, you are so sexy right now. You know, you know, you sound like, you know, one of the kids in 16 Candles or something, you know, Anthony Michael Hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine Matthew McConaughey or Bradley Cooper just kind of leaning back after she says something silly or goofy and he knows she's nervous on the date. And he just says to her, you are so sexy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just almost like just barely detectable, like a gas leak, you know, just a little bit of sensuality, but smooth. Calm, cool, collected, looking in her eyes, just keeping your composure.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's not a man. Yeah. Sorry. I can't help myself. I have this effect. Just ask Emily.
Yeah.
See, I saved myself there.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is the first man is out of control.
Yes.
He's worried. He's scared. He's confronted by this moment.
Yeah.
Whereas the other man is simply boldly recognizing what he likes and acknowledging it.
Yes.
In an effort to put the woman on the other side of the table at ease and turn her on a little bit, boom, in one smooth motion.
Yes. And this is my favorite thing that I get to do with men when we coach, you know, in person or over Skype, is I actually get to have these role plays with men where we work to have them feel connected to their own strength, you know, or their own body, like their own, you know, their groin, their strength, their all of that, their sexuality, and feel all that nervousness and sometimes feel that turn on, you know, it's like, and then be able to speak because holy shit, it's like that thing when we're little of patting your head and rubbing your belly at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. It's a learned skill to be able to feel the amount of turn on you can actually feel in your body, the amount of pleasure you can actually feel in your body, and, you know, not blow out of that and be able to speak and be able to then have your attention on a woman and notice her responses instead of your fear about her responses, right? There's some practice it takes there.
Well, first of all, any guy who's ever thought that women can't coach men can put that in their pipe and smoke it.
Yep.
Because I can't do that for the guys I coach. I can't role play sex with them, you know, like try to turn me on. So that's wonderful. I think that's excellent. What guys really need to understand is that, yes, women want this. They want the romance. They want that to turn sexual. They just don't want it to be all about that.
Right.
In other words, it's like, you know, if you're a guy and you make lots of money, you probably want to be a provider. You probably want to give a nice woman some nice gifts sometimes. But if a woman shows up on a date and goes, all right, you're a rich guy. Take me out for lobster. Uh-huh. Take me on a shopping date. Give me money. Where's my card?
Right. You know,
that entitlement mentality is really going to suck.
Yeah.
And she's probably not going to get a second date. In other words, women who are trying to look for a rich husband don't get a rich husband.
Yep.
Guys who are trying to get laid are the least laid guys I know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like women. You have to appreciate women. Then it's amazing how the sex tends to happen.
Naturally. Yeah, it really does. It naturally follows. I mean, I work with men in a course that I have that's called Mastery, you know, all about the keys to sexual power that inspire or ignite women's attraction and desire and devotion. There's this way that if you're not loving women you really have to do your work to get over whatever that baggage or resentment or frustration is. Women feel it pretty instantly. And so if you're out there thinking, fuck, all women are, you know, teases and all women are this, it's really built up out of your own past experiences and then the meaning you make out of that. It's really important that you get to a place where you can actually appreciate women and each unique woman for who she is instead of this template that you've created of who women are. Because that's the key for a lot of men I've worked with is that they're confused. Like, why is this not happening? Women aren't responding to me. And, you know, I approach a woman and she gets this weird look on her face and she backs away. That's often what's happening is that there's this subterranean resentment or frustration happening. Yes. That then a woman doesn't get to feel seen for who she actually is. She feels, you know, put in this box. And nobody wants to be put in that box, not a man or a woman, right? And so when I work with women, I really do the same work with them. You've got to look at what happened in your past. What are you still holding against men? You know, where are you not able to see this man who's approaching you for the unique and amazing man he could be for you or with you?
Yeah, it's not gender specific at all. And I think that's another place we go wrong is we think, you know, all these women have hurt me. All these women are terrible. How can I get one to spread her legs and let me screw her?
Yeah.
You know, now listen, I've just basically summed up every men's dating advice product that's come out in the last 5 years.
Oh, shit.
Because who are the guys who are failing with women? They're guys who don't like women.
Yeah.
But they're still horny.
Yeah.
Now, it's just like when a woman comes to us and goes, you know, all men are dogs, they're all liars, they're all jerks. Can you find me a nice one?
Mm.
The answer is no.
No.
We need to figure that out.
Yeah.
Before we get you the guy you want. Because no guy who actually likes and respects women is going to get saddled up with someone like that.
No.
Now, the worst part about it for women is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if she happens to be physically attractive. Because, yeah, guys will bang her and kick her to the curb, but good grief, they don't want a relationship with her. Are you kidding? Right. She hates men.
Right.
So then that just feeds that whole discourse and whips it into a frenzy. On the man's side, it's like, look, women just want to reject guys. They get off on putting men in the friend zone. They just really think it's hilarious to throw martinis in a man's face and get mad at him. Well, the hell they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's an uncomfortable feeling. It's born of lack of safety and security. You think women actually want that?
No.
Women are security-seeking creatures. That's been said by so many people. It's such a common natural fact that no one takes credit for it.
Yeah.
It's not something, a bit of advice or a revelation somebody invented. It stands alone. Women are all about safety and security.
Yeah.
So when you show up and you just want to get laid and every experience you've had with a woman in the past was negative, from grade school, from junior high, when we were all awkward and didn't know what to say to women. So when we went up to a girl at the dance and asked her to dance and she just pointed and giggled, that's where the whole downward spiral started.
It is.
And see, now the longer a guy goes before seeing a set of boobies in real life, the more the too good to be true factor gets fed. Oh my gosh. If I ever got a woman naked, it would just be glorious. So then he starts heaping the pressure on himself and it becomes more this quest to have sex, you know, like a bad movie from the 80s all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And this entire American Pie routine gets blown out of proportion. The next thing you know, he's a 25-year-old virgin. And my gosh, to ever see a vagina and touch it and see what it feels like is about as likely as hitting the lottery.
Yeah.
So then whose fault is it? It's all these women who've rejected me. So then there becomes an impatience.
Right. Do it already. Like, I've been waiting for all these goddamn years.
And how is a woman supposed to respond to that? Not necessarily even as a female human being, but just as a human being.
Right.
Well, no better than a pushy sales guy who's eating ramen noodles and is about to lose his car at the end of the month because he hasn't made a sale is going to get received when he's trying to say, you know, buy my furniture, damn it.
Yeah.
I got to feed my family. It's like, you know, I don't think I want your furniture.
Yeah.
Come to think of it.
Yeah.
So even a guy who had a lot going for him, even a guy who's handsome, well, you know what? Shoot it all to hell. He's rich. He's handsome. He's got 6-pack abs. And he comes to me and he's going, I still can't get these women to screw me. Well, gee.
I wonder why.
You have every box checked. that all these guys who aren't getting women think they need to have,
yeah,
the boxes they need to check before a woman's going to talk to them, much less get naked with them.
Yeah.
Yet you have all these boxes checked and there are still no women. What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah.
That's where the truth lies in this whole overwrought dead horse that's been flogged of you can be fat, you can be bald, you can be short, you can be poor, and you can still get laid. Because there's a kernel of truth there.
Yeah.
If you know how to make a woman feel safe and comfortable, if you are confident, and by confident, I mean you believe women should want you. If you know how to act like a man, if you are a man of character.
That's a loaded topic.
Well, yeah, of
course. If you know how to act like a man.
But it doesn't have to do with all those things that men think they have to have checked before they get a woman.
No.
You can be an average looking guy with an average income or even below average. But if you are the guy who knows how to handle a first date like that gentleman handled it with you a couple nights ago,
mm-hmm,
then even if you didn't catch her eye previously, she's going to go, okay, now I have a man in my presence. Now we're getting
some. Yes. Something. Yeah. And one of the things that has been really important for so many of the men I've worked with is to know what's amazing about them, right? So for you who's listening, to know what's amazing about you. And if you actually start to check and you're like, what's amazing about me? I'm not sure. I have no idea. If you can't find it, you can actually go ask other people. But if ultimately you can't find it, then there's something off there, right? Because that means you're not living, you're not inspiring yourself. You're not living a life that you're proud of. So ultimately, what I find is that, you know, when we're in those moments of first attraction and nervousness and fear and anxiety, we tend to go to this place of, am I good enough, right? The contraction, when we stop breathing is like, am I good enough? Versus what you were saying, Scott, is, you know, am I interested in her? Is she a potential match for me? But I have guys make a list of what's amazing about them and print it out and put it in their wallets and actually read it before going on a date. Because when you're coming from that place of, I am a kick-ass man who has so much to offer a woman, she'd almost be a little bit crazy to say no to me, you know, and I have women do this too, right? And I said the other night, I kind of had to remind myself of this. But when you counter the fear and the anxiety, then you get to relax more into your heart, into your sex, into your body, into your strength, you know, into your courage, because you have a sense of, yeah, I'm good. I'm awesome. And she, you know, not that she should want you, but it's kind of like, yeah, she'd be crazy not to want me.
So all of this leads towards sex. And when there's a disconnect somewhere in the process, that's where a guy is going to start saying to himself, you know, these women don't like sex, because he's seldom seeing anything leading to sex. But the key word there is leading.
Yes.
Now, what would you say to guys who say, all right, look, women who are sexual are the ones who are likely to give me sex. So I'm going to go after strippers and I'm going to read books on how to date porn stars.
Right.
Because after all, those are the women who like sex, obviously. Now, as a little bit of a hint here, I happen to know personally that women who look like little preppy mommies dressed up in Laura Ashley can be even more sexual.
Dirty and sexual in the bedroom.
Horny and slutty and whatever word you want to use. In the bedroom, once you get them to this comfort level you're talking about.
Yes.
And of course, you just acknowledged it even as I was speaking it. But there's guys out there going, you got to be kidding me. There's not a chance. These women are all cold little ice queens. They look like cold little ice queens. You're telling me there's a hot little vixen under there?
Uh-huh. You know it, right? You know it. I know it. I mean, I see it all the time. It's actually been shocking to me to realize, you know, I've led these workshops for women over the years, and you get women in a room and they look prim and proper. They look professional. And then they start talking about their secret orgasm, or like that they can be out in public and start feeling this sensation of orgasm in their bodies, but they would rather die than show that part of themselves because they think it makes them look, again, too slutty, too dirty, too whatever. Or to hear women feel safe enough in a group full of women to start to say, I really like like sex, you know, and all of the cultural conditioning. So I'm totally agreeing with you. And what I was referring to in the beginning where I say, you know, there are some women who lead with sex and you said most men have never met them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are strippers or a lot of them are porn stars, or because it's not usually coming from this place of wholeness or self-love. It's usually coming from this place of, if I use my body, if I use my sexuality, I can get love. You know, that's the only way, or that's the doorway to love. And so when you just remember that and you have that in your mind of, wow, okay, she may want that, but she is not likely to admit it unless she feels, again, back to safe enough, right? Unless she, because I was on a gig a couple of weeks ago where I interviewed 70 young men and women. And the number of them, I think probably 85% of them had been cheated on and hurt already, you know, in their 20s. And I really got to see again where from both sides, we've been hurt and we don't want to look foolish and we don't want that to happen again, you know? And so to remember, oh, she probably has this secret life in there that she's only going to be willing to show me if I show her that actually I'm still going to respect her and I'm going to be even more turned on to her if she opens up that side to me.
Several things to cover here. First of all, I'm thinking of the book, My Secret Garden by Nancy Friday, that came out in the early 70s and just flipped this whole conversation on its ear. Mm. Because the book was a compilation of women's secret fantasies given anonymously. And they are dirty, horny. I mean, it starts off at a Baltimore Colts game and the crowd is screaming after Johnny Unitas throws a touchdown, which as a Baltimore boy was kind of interesting to read as the first part of the book. Mm-hmm. And as the crowd's screaming, the guy behind her pulls her pants down and rapes her from behind. Mm. And nobody can hear her screaming and moaning in pleasure because they're screaming for the touchdown.
Wow.
You know, that's a real fantasy from a real woman. And people are like, that's a head scratcher.
Ooh, yeah.
So yeah, women are having these hot fantasies. And why aren't they bringing them to the table first? Well, because of the shame. Mm-hmm. And also because of, you know, this is not something I even know he wants from me. Mm-hmm. So there is a truth that I think every guy can digest right there, which is, hey, are we the ones shaming women? Are we the ones responsible for making her feel like a slut?
Yeah.
Out of one side of our mouth, do we want women to have sex with us, but we think all the women who have sex are dirty little whores?
Yep.
How is that attitude coming across on my dates with women? So if we don't shame her, if we celebrate female sexuality, mm-hmm. if we coax it out in a place where it's like, hey, you know, it's okay to talk about this. Like sometimes women will bring up sex in general as a topic of conversation kind of in an indirect way. Like, oh, did you hear that so-and-so movie star has been having sex with so on? Or it could be anything really subtle like that. And how the guy responds to it is what she's watching. Is he going to freak out and start hyperventilating like a chihuahua because sex got mentioned, showing that he doesn't have that experience, you know, that he's not someone who gets a lot of sex? Or is he going to matter-of-factly join in the conversation? Next thing you know, because she brought up sex and he didn't freak out over it, well, it's okay to talk about sex. Then comes the opportunities to let her know it's okay to talk about sex. The snowball starts small, but then it starts rolling.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. You don't just dive into any of this. It's all kind of something that gets rolling over time. That's how the comfort gets built. Another thing you mentioned was that little bit of validation that both men and women are so reticent to give up front because it makes you so vulnerable to rejection. And mm-hmm. yes, women feel the same way. It can be as easy, Shayna, as going on a first date, sitting down with her at the coffee shop and going, hey, you know what? You look even better than your pictures. Mm-hmm. Or you know what? I'm having fun already. I'm glad we're here.
Yeah.
Does that give your power away? No. Does that make you look like a wuss?
No.
No, it's just a simple fact. But that fact is an incredible gift, just like you said, to the person across the table, man or woman.
Such a gift.
Because then you can relax.
Yeah. Women tend to really want to be appreciated. And again, I don't want to say all women, but many women tend to want to be appreciated for their beauty. And with all of the supermodels and magazines and billboards, we come to the table with this like, oh God, I know I don't look like those women out there, but are you right. still going to find me attractive? And so
Yes.
That's happening again underneath the surface. And when you say, and when this man said to me on this date, "You look so hot, I can barely contain myself," or "Are you actually wearing, I can't even see if you're wearing a shirt because I all I see is your bare shoulders and it's like I'm seeing you naked." It's like,
you said that.
Yeah. It was really, yeah.
And it was
hot.
Okay.
It was okay. This was not a first date. This was more like a fifth date or third date or something like that. So, but still, it would have been okay with me because of the way he said it with, again, that connection with his own strength and his own rightness. And he wasn't falling out of himself and feeling weird about it. He was clearly moved and turned on, but also able to hold that in his being, you know, in his body, as strong and as okay.
Well, a fifth date is relatively far into the process. I don't think that would be surprising. But what does surprise a lot of guys is when I tell them, I've said things to women on a first date, like, "I would love to watch you have an orgasm."
Mm.
But I didn't lead with that. I didn't sit down
at Starbucks.
I didn't sit down at Starbucks, throw a latte in front of her and go, "So I'd like to watch you have orgasms." You kind of go, "Yeah, matter of fact," shrug, you know, that's not how it worked.
No,
there was a connection. We were getting each other.
Yes.
There were little looks across the table. There was a little giggle here and there from her. And I was enjoying her for who she was. And I really honestly liked the woman sitting across from me.
Mm-hmm.
So that morphed into the orgasm part.
Yeah.
So when I finally said it at the right time and in the right confident but not overbearing tone of voice while leaning back, you could just sort of watch her explode in horniness when I said it,
yes.
Which is different than creepiness.
Yes.
If you walk up to a woman on the street and go, "Hey, you know, I'd like to watch you have an orgasm," she's going to call the police.
Yeah.
And guys think, you know, there's no difference. If I ever say to a woman the word orgasm, you know, the bells are going to ring, the whistles are going to go off, and they're going to drag me away in cuffs.
Right.
Which leads me to this
difference.
Yes. Which leads me to this last question, because we're running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned how a woman feels at her most vulnerable once she takes her clothes off.
Mm.
Even women who are gorgeous and we find really sexy sometimes get really self-conscious naked, which is not indicative of them not liking sex and not having a fantasy, but it does make them kind of nervous about getting naked and moving in the sexual direction.
Yes.
There's a big difference there too.
Yes. Huge.
So what can a guy do once it's time to get down? You're in the bedroom, the clothes are coming off. How do you not put up a barrier, a sex-proof barrier at that point, where the woman's going to suddenly seem as if she doesn't like sex?
Right.
When, you know, 10 minutes ago, she was good to go. What happened?
Yeah.
These chicks are a bunch of teases, Shayna.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah. And the key is appreciating. And, you know, it has to be genuine. It can't be this strategy of, "Now I'm going to appreciate her, so she'll keep having sex with me," right?
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the next step in the process.
Right. Genuine appreciation of, wow. And even to say something like, "Wow," to really keep appreciating and letting her know what you're finding delicious and delightful and awesome and attractive. Yeah, the slowness, I think a lot of men have a fear, at least the men I've worked with have a fear that if they go slow, it's not going to happen, or, you know, you've got to speed up to get there. And right. And sometimes it's the slower you go and the more contact there is, mm-hmm. the more she can feel your breath and each word that you're speaking about her body and what you're appreciating, that drops a woman into, "Oh, I'm safe, I'm wanted, I'm appreciated, and my heart's opening, and woo, okay, I am getting turned on."
Right. So look, guys, you look at Victoria's Secret catalogs and lust over women in lingerie. Don't just like rip her clothes off, rip the lingerie off, bend her over and go at it. Appreciate this. Savor this. We're supposed to like this. We're supposed to like lingerie. If she went to the trouble of wearing lingerie, by the way, if she went to the trouble of wearing lingerie on a date,
mm-hmm.
it may have been just because she wanted to feel sexy, but let's face it. She
let's
was
face
ready
it.
For action. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, as an aside, if you get a woman naked and she has granny panties on, give yourself a golf clap. Because she really didn't expect it to go that far. She wasn't
yes.
ready. You knocked her for a loop.
Yep.
All right. I'm glad you acknowledged that.
I love it.
Yeah. Guys, savor that moment. Now, I have heard from guys, and I have heard myself, stop being a wuss and touch me when the woman's naked. Like, it's okay. You know, she takes her shirt off. She's gloriously naked. You go and you embrace her and let nature take its course slowly. You know, you don't just bend her over in caveman her like we talked about before. It's okay to put your face in her cleavage and, you know, savor that and all of that. You know, put your face in her neck and breathe in her aura. All of that is what I'm talking about. But sometimes guys stand there and just go, oh, okay, she's naked. Now what? And the lady is sitting there going, I'm naked. Now what? I mean, this is awkward because you're just looking at me and you're looking at the floor, you know, and then they start covering up, putting their pants on, and they run out the door.
Right.
I mean, there's a middle ground. Again, there's always this balance in the middle.
Maybe for some women, and that's the thing too, is that we're all unique and there are different words that turn us on and there are different words that turn us off. And so be willing to actually know that about her and hear that.
What you're bringing up is a conversation that needs to be had when you know you're going to get intimate with each other, but before you're in bed with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the STD conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, are there any words you like, you don't like? I don't want to say the wrong thing and have it be a total turnoff.
Yeah. But
that's a little bit of an aside from our conversation. But I'm glad you talked about the whole idea of appreciation and going slow in the bedroom. Because I think, again, it's that lack of experience, that lack of tact, that lack of dialing in the middle ground that gets guys in trouble even in the bedroom and keeps them from being successful and eliciting that sexuality from women. And that's where guys end up, unfortunately, because they've got a place to blame, saying, yeah, you know what? Women don't like sex. Boom. Yeah. End of story.
Yep.
This has been a great conversation. I want to point guys to your website because you've given so much value today, Shayna. And I think guys know that the perspective you're coming from is certainly man-friendly and certainly offers something that, well, we just can't get everywhere.
Yeah.
So guys, go to www.thechickwhisperer.com/SSS because I'm not even going to try to make you remember how to spell her first name. It is Shayna, of course, S-H-A-N-A. But the website is www.thechickwhisperer.com/SSS. So what in tarnation does SSS stand for? Well, it's Sexual Satisfaction Summit. And I was honored to be a speaker on that, talking about the subject of being a dominant man in the bedroom. Boy, was that a fun conversation.
That was hot. Yep.
And you can go find out more about Sexual Satisfaction Summit. I was one of many speakers on that. It was good stuff. Shane is a great interviewer and a lot of fun to talk to, as we've already figured out. So definitely check that out. www.thechickwhisperer.com/SSS. Shayna, thanks for such a wonderful conversation. This is one of the best episodes we've had in a long time, and it's because you were a part of it.
Thank you. This was fun.
And guys, if you have not signed up for the newsletter, go to the show notes page at www.thechickwhisperer.com. Get a load of what Shayna James looks like with her picture next to that latest episode, and sign up for our newsletter so you can get free and actionable advice on how to get better with women, how to be a better man, and how to be better in the bedroom, all for free just by visiting and signing up. And that's all for this show. Until I talk to you again soon, this is Scott McKay from San Antonio, Texas. You've been listening to the Chick Whisperer podcast. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer podcast.